everybody. Welcome back to the Blankenfoot Recording Studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood to your favorite show, People Pleaser. I'm your host, Austin Archer. This is People Pleaser. It's your favorite kind of episode. The episodes with nobody else and just me. Come on, be real. That's what you're really here for, right? It's just a whole lot of me talking. That's why you listen to this show. So I'm just giving you plenty of these mini-sodes. Not actually in a Blanket Fort recording studio or a one-bedroom apartment right now. So that was a lie. I just said it because it's the tagline. But I'm actually in my mom and dad's basement in Sandy, Utah. I'm in Utah right now shooting a movie like a big-time real actor. I don't just say I'm an actor. Sometimes I actually do it. Sometimes. So that's fun. It's been a good time out here. Our crew is doing what they can to make the set feel safe and warm and cozy. Everyone wears masks all day long, except for the actors, of course. We've got to talk and wear makeup and whatnot. But yeah, it's been good. It's been fun, you know? Good food and good people and good times. Cool. A couple things right at the beginning here before we get into it. Since you like listening to me talk so much, I figured you might want to hear me talking over on another podcast. I was recently a guest on a podcast called Deep Talks and Poppycock. It's called a Lost Boys podcast. The Lost Boys are this music group that I met through TikTok. And then they found me on Instagram and we started chit-chatting back and forth. And we decided that we like each other and that we're friends and that it's all good. And they asked me to come on their podcast. I'm probably going to have them over here on my podcast. The podcast is Hugh Lindsay and his wife, Brittany. They're really funny and they have great chemistry because, I mean, they should. They are married to one another. I would hope that they would have good chemistry. And they had me on the show to talk about myself, because it's something I am just very good at talking about. And I talked about the album and about music and about just all kinds of things. And Brittany asked me some good, less serious, fun questions as well. Some good, like would you rather types and like, you know, who would you use as a lifeline if you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it was a good time. Good times were had by all. Again, that podcast is called Deep Talks and Poppycocks. Look for the episode that I think the episode is called Who is Austin Archer? Is the episode. So go listen to that and then listen to The Lost Boys on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you stream music. Good stuff out there from Hugh and the gang. Right here at the top, Beautiful Things is out. You know, last week we did a whole episode breaking down the album. If you haven't heard it yet, go listen to Beautiful Things by Austin Archer, me, mixed and mastered by Chrissy Bear, Chris Bjorn, over at Marmalade Music, who mixes and masters this show. Go check that out. It's now available. You can listen to the whole thing. And if you like it, you should consider going and purchasing the album from my Bandcamp, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. Purchase from Bandcamp, never iTunes. iTunes basically gives 0% of the money that you give them to the artist. Bandcamp gives almost 100% of the money to the artist. So purchase from Bandcamp, not iTunes. I'll be donating a portion of the proceeds that I make from this record to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. As you may know, if you've been listening to the show or if you listened to last week's episode, the album is dedicated to the memory of my friend Brad Casteller, who committed suicide in December of 2019. And I just want to talk about that really quick before I get into the big topic for this mini-sode. But I don't know. This might be completely in my head. This might literally just be something that I'm like feeling that's not actually real, and I totally acknowledge that. But I think there's enough to it that I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it out loud. I've been being very forward and blunt about the way that my friend died and about the fact that, like, I'm raising money for suicide prevention and for suicide awareness, and I've been saying the word suicide a lot on social media and, like, in my posts and when I talk about it on the podcast, and, like, I don't mince words. I don't say that my friend passed away or that my friend died and I leave it at that and I don't say how he died. I feel like we have a tendency in our society to sort of do that when someone dies from suicide. I feel like we have a tendency to sort of like sweep it under the rug or like not mention the cause of death when talking about how a person died. I mean, if a person dies of cancer, we say, you know, they had cancer, they died, died in a car accident. We'll say, yeah, they were in a car accident. It was really, really sad. But like we just say this person passed away or this person died when they die of suicide. And again, maybe this isn't a real thing. Maybe this is just in my head. But I feel, and I have no actual evidence to support this, but I feel this weird kind of like pushback every time I say out loud, my friend took his own life or my friend died of suicide. And I'm not sure if that's a real thing, if that pushback that I'm feeling is a real thing. But in case it is, I just want to say that me saying it is a deliberate thing. I'm saying it deliberately. I am intending to state the cause of death intentionally because I don't see how we can get closer to understanding depression and what recovery looks like and like how suicide actually affects the people that it affects and the ripple effects of all of that and just what all of that really is if we're afraid to name it, if we're afraid to say the word out loud and to talk about it. My buddy Brad died of lots of things, in my opinion. I personally believe he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. It's not my place to diagnose anyone, but anyone who knows him, I don't think would disagree with me on that. Years of drug abuse and dealing with past traumas, I think he was an incredibly sensitive person who had a hard time getting over things. There were lots of factors that contributed to this. I think that there's a certain romanticization of suicide that contributed to this. And I'll probably do an episode in the future with someone where we really get into it and talk about suicide and talk about the ways that suicide has been romanticized in pop culture and in music. And I know I grew up idolizing the 27 Club and musicians who checked out early, right as they were at the top of their fame wave and they became legends. You know, there was something kind of cool about like that energy. But I also just think people like my friend Brad, and I know this because I've also had this experience, I think you get infected with this idea that in a world where everything is so far out of your control, the one thing that you can control is when and how you get to say that you've had enough. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's important to be specific about what I'm talking about when I say that my friend died and not just say, yeah, he died and it was really sad, but to say, no, he killed himself and it was all these things as well. And to be specific about that cause. That's all I'll say about that now. Maybe I'll do an episode about it later, but that's why I do deliberately speak about it. Again, I might be wrong. Maybe there's not this weird vibe or feeling that occurs when people say suicide out loud. Maybe everyone's really super comfortable with suicide. I don't know. It feels like when I do it, though, I feel through the internet, through the ethosphere, I feel energetically like people are like, are you allowed to say that? Like, I don't think you can just say that. But yeah, that's part of the problem in my mind is like, no, we should say this. I'm a person who for many, many years was quite suicidal. I thought about suicide on a daily basis, and I no longer do. I do believe that recovery is possible and that there is medicine to treat that. And I don't just mean medication, drugs and pills. I mean, there are lots of different forms of medicine that can treat that. And again, this is a topic for another day, but I just wanted to say that it pertains to the album. Go listen to the album. Go check it out. And if you like the album, purchase it in order to support independent music and suicide prevention. Please and thank you through Bandcamp. Links on all my things. On all my things. I feel like I hear this question like at least once a week from people who know me. They're like, where can I find your stuff? Where can I find your podcast? Where can I find your music? And I'm like, on any one of the things, on any one of the three Instagram profiles that I manage. I only manage three now because my main profile I got locked out of 4 months ago and I can't get back in because Instagram is a terrible company when it comes to customer support. But on any one of my three Instagram profiles, on my Facebook profile, on my Facebook music page, on my website, austin-archer.com, it's all The links are everywhere. Look up Austin Archer on Apple Music or Spotify. You'll see this podcast and my music page. I don't know. It's everywhere, you know? Go out and find it. Google my name and plenty of stuff comes up. All right, that's enough for the things that I have to plug and promote. I want to just get into what I'm actually talking about this week. Basically, with this idea that you saw on the thumbnail, okay, I'm going to back up. I'm going to tell you a story. So for a while now, I've been thinking of ways to productively engage with people who support Donald Trump. I've tried to engage people in spirited but respectful discourse online, sometimes not so respectful. Sometimes I just get mad and just decide to dunk on someone and really make them look foolish in a comment section. That doesn't really ever seem to be very productive, but it's something that I do from time to time because I have a raging ego that just can't stand the fact that people cannot know certain things. And recently, I decided to make a couple videos on TikTok where I literally captioned the video, "They go low, I go lower." And the first one is, well, listen, I'm just going to play the audio for you from the video and let you hear it so that you know what I'm talking about. But this is the video I made on TikTok.
Have you ever noticed that on the internet, Trump supporters tend to be really bad at spelling and grammar? Like, they commonly mix up your and there, and there. Take a look at these comments from some Trump supporters on Facebook celebrating the fact that they think that the wildfires in California were sent by God because God is mad at California for being liberal. I was wondering why this exists and why Trump supporters tend to be generally worse at spelling and grammar than people who don't support Trump. And I decided to do some scientific research, and I actually found out that there is a scientifically quantifiable reason for this. And the reason is that they're actually dumber than people who don't support Donald Trump. Just in general, they're just much dumber people. Just very stupid, dumb, idiotic, moronic, dumb, stupid people.
And that's it. yeah, I mean, obviously, full disclosure, I still think it's pretty funny. Like, I think it's a funny video. It's me pointing out the fact that, like, often, and in a general sense, Trump supporters tend to misspell words. Like, they get the wrong forms of your, and there, and there, and stuff like that. And then they also have a tough time with, like, sentence structure. Like, you'll read someone's sentence and you'll just think, like, did you go through the same schooling process that I went through? Like, did you never learn proper sentence structure, where commas go and that sort of thing? And I, you know, obviously that video is a cheap shot. It's a pot shot. It's just me being an arrogant jackass. Like, I'm just being rude for the sake of being rude. And that was sort of where my mind was at on that day. I was sort of like holed up in my parents' basement. I had the day off and I just thought, I'm gonna try a new strategy. I'm just gonna be mean. And here was the rationale behind why I did that. First of all, in my brain, it was like, these people don't respond to nice. They don't respond to respectful. They don't respond to well thought out or rational or reasonable. Their guy, the guy that they're voting for, their dude is a bully, is a mean person, is a person who doesn't value respectful discourse or, you know, intellectual, eloquent arguments. He values putting down his opponent with ad hominem arguments and attacks, and they like that. They like that he's a bully. They like that the philosophy of their party and their organization has become to denigrate and make fun of their opponents, that, and, you know, calling people snowflakes and cucks and things like that. Like, making fun of liberals for being offended at everything. But like the things we're getting offended at are like human rights violations. And they're just kind of like, oh, you guys are so, oh, you need a safe space. You coddled liberals, you know? And I just thought, someone needs to bully these guys back. Maybe they'll respond to a little bit of their own medicine. Maybe fighting fire with fire in this instance will be productive. I'm not proud of this. That's why I'm talking about it. But I proceeded to do that in the comment sections too. People were getting in my comment sections and saying like typical closed-minded liberal, just calling people dumb because you don't understand their opinions, not actually trying to, you know, engage with them. And rather than responding to them or saying like, oh, well, let's have a discourse, I just brutally bullied these people. I just responded with like, durr, orange man say funny thing, durr, I like when my truck go vroom, vroom, durr. And then they would be like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you. Why are you just making fun of me? And I'd be like, durr, MAGA good, CNN bad, durr, Fox News is true and everything else is fake, durr, durr, durr. And like, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. I think it's funny, and like I was amused with myself and I was having a good time doing it. But like on the other end of that, I also felt pretty dark that day. I felt pretty there's a part of me. Okay, here's the thing. There's a part of me that gets super high on that stuff, that gets it straight up intoxicated on that stuff. It feels good to, for a few minutes, not have to worry about being the person who's taking the high road, not have to worry about making sure that I'm engaging people in a respectful and kind manner, but just go, I'm intentionally not going to respect you right now. I'm intentionally going to show you the same disrespect that you've been showing everyone else over the last 5 years. And there's a part of it that's cathartic, and there's a part of it that feels like a needed release valve is being opened up, and there's a part of me that doesn't feel bad for it, that really relishes in it. I mean, obviously, I did it, and I wouldn't have done it if it just felt terrible. So yeah, I got to be honest about that. Like I enjoyed being mean to those people and not worrying about responding to their arguments. They would say, well, what about this, this, and this that Trump did? And I wouldn't even respond to them. I would just mock them. And in my mind, it was sort of a poetic thing of like, don't you see that this is what you've been doing to people for the last 5 years? This is how you behave every time someone tries to engage you in a debate. You just call liberals sensitive, dumb, idiots, you know, hate mongers, you know, people who are afraid of words and stuff like that. Like, but I was trying to point out a hypocrisy, a moral failing. And I'm not saying all this to excuse my behavior. I'm not saying all of this to say why my behavior was okay. I'm saying all of this to say I understand the anger response. I understand where it comes from, and I relate to it. I'm saying all of this to say that when protests get violent, which is usually like the day after something bad happens, it's usually like right in the wake of someone being killed by a police officer or something like that. It's usually those fresh protests that wind up getting violent, the ones that they didn't have time to get a permit from the city for. So there's going to be a clash with police, and that's going to lead to violence. When things get hairy and people want to discount the message because like, oh, well, look how despicably you're behaving by rioting in the streets and breaking windows and spray painting cars and burning things. While I don't condone that behavior, what I'm saying with this is I get it. I get the catharsis of letting out some frustration, some well-earned, justified frustration, some justified anger, some justified rage about the absolute lack of justice and the lack of fairness and the lack of rationale and the lack of compassion and humanity that we see sometimes from our political rivals and just sometimes from our government and sometimes just from the universe. I understand it. I understand the anger. I understand the frustration. Of course, I relate. I feel it. I understand feeling like Donald Trump getting COVID is just desserts. I understand. I was taught, my brother was over here for a dinner the other night for my mom's birthday, and he said, I don't care what your political ideology is, wishing a man to die is a bad thing. Like, you shouldn't be wishing death on a person, on a human being. If you're in the place mentally and spiritually where you're wishing, actively wishing for death for another human, that's bad. And while I understand, while I get that, and I'm not going to disagree with him, I think that for our own health, we need to avoid that kind of space, that kind of mental and spiritual space. But I also don't want to just carte blanche say anyone who was secretly or not so secretly saying, I don't mind if this guy dies. In fact, I think it might be good for the world if he dies. I want to just say I understand that response. I get that response. And I'm not saying I condone that response, just like I don't condone violent protest. I don't condone what I've done here with this TikTok video and with making fun of people in the comment sections. I don't condone the use of ad hominem attacks and bullying and mockery over reasonable, respectful, kind, loving discourse. I don't condone this stuff. I understand it, though. The same way that I understand why people celebrated when Osama bin Laden was killed. It is interesting to me that there's a lot of liberal Americans over the last few days who were just disgusted by the, and also especially conservatives, were disgusted by the amount of people saying that they are excited that that Donald Trump has COVID, that they hope that the guy dies. They were just disgusted by this reprehensible behavior, but they cheered and they had no problem celebrating the fact that when Obama came out and said, we got him and we killed Osama bin Laden. What is it, that he's an American, that Donald Trump's an American, so somehow that makes his human life more valuable than a Muslim, you know, radical jihadist leader? Like, when does human life become okay? When does it become okay to celebrate that human life has been taken? Like, what lines have to be crossed? And has Donald Trump not crossed enough of those lines? Like, how many lines does he need to cross before people can go, actually, you know what, society might be better off without this guy? And again, I need to clarify, I'm not justifying wishing that. I'm just saying when people have those responses, I understand. Also, I find it incredibly ironic that a lot of people on the right, and again, people on the left and people in the center who are saying it's despicable to wish for the death of the sitting president, many people on the right were just actively celebrating the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg days earlier. Cheering, making memes about how they're so excited that RBG died so that they can fill the spot and take a majority in the Supreme Court. I don't see how that's okay, but feeling like Donald Trump getting the virus that he's been telling everyone is not a very big deal and that he's been very dismissive of, and a million people worldwide have died from it, and he just keeps saying it's no big deal. I see how watching that person get infected with it could lead to some sort of schadenfreudic feeling of, boy, wouldn't it be something if that guy took a turn for the worse and had to eat crow on his deathbed about all the misinformation he's spread and all the damage he's done through that misinformation. Wouldn't that potentially be a good thing for our society to have this person who has sown such division and such hate just removed from the equation? Wouldn't we all be better off? Again, I am not condoning those thoughts. I am saying, as a human, as a person who struggles with duality and who struggles with trying to live in accordance with my higher self instead of my baser urges, I understand these impulses. They are the impulses that led me to make that potshot video and that led me to bully people online who were commenting on the video, thinking that I was only doing what was fair. And here's the turning point. Here's where I'm going to now turn this conversation. The problem with that stuff, the reason why wishing the president to die or participating in ultra-violent protest or bullying our political rivals online, stooping to their level, getting down in the sludge with them, the reason why going lower when they go low doesn't work. And this is for me. This is for me personally. And I'm going to just say this. This is my personal experience. It's not about tactics to win the overall war. It's not about which tactic is going to help us win the ideological war and change the minds of millions of people. That is the problem, is the idea that something that we can do, some sort of tactic that going high when they go low will help us change their minds. The problem is that thinking. For me, again, in my life, if I'm thinking that my behavior can effectively change the opinions and the beliefs and the minds of millions of people, I'm not in a good spiritual space. I'm not being intellectually and spiritually honest with myself. I'm not being real about the very little amount in this universe that I control. I'm thinking that the way that I engage with a person in a conversation is going to, everyone's going to see it and see that I was so respectful, but at the same time, so concise with my points, and that I was so unmistakably correct, I'm going to somehow change hundreds of minds, and those hundreds of minds are going to change thousands of minds, and those thousands of minds are going to change millions of minds. I'm getting very grandiose. And when I get grandiose, I'm giving fuel to my ego. When I sit in my basement and make videos that are mocking people who disagree with me politically, I'm giving fuel to my ego. My ego that I work so hard in meditation and prayer to keep quiet, and that I try to keep him in the back seat and keep him humble, keep him deferring to the higher self, deferring to the higher path. I'm giving him so much fuel when I go low. And so here's the point of all this. Here's the thing is I have to recontextualize the reason I choose to go high. I'm not choosing to go high or go low because I think it's the better tactic to win the war. I have to be humble enough to realize that I'm not in control of winning that war. I'm not in control of changing millions of people's minds. All I'm in control of is my behavior. Other people's behavior is none of my business. So if they want to be bullies, and if they want to mock people who disagree with them, and if they want to champion a guy who mocks disabled people and who regularly says blatantly racist things and who refuses to denounce white supremacy and who gleefully talks about sexually assaulting women, if they want to do that, that's not something that I can stop them from doing. I can't control that. What I can control is my response to that. Is the way that I choose to engage with others, knowing that that's a part of the world that I live in. I can control my behavior. And when I choose to go lower when they go low is my tactic, it only hurts me. So, well, I don't know if it only hurts me. I mean, I might have hurt some people's feelings, but the point is, it's just no good for me. It just sucks. And here's the back end of that story of me being just fueling my ego, just sitting in the basement, just like hate commenting to all these people and like really getting down in the sludge with them and just getting down in that muck is I showed the video later that day to Mary and I said, check out this video that I made today. And I said, I was on one, guys. I was riding high and I was cranked up on ego juice and I was high. I was intoxicated on this. And I was like, I'm done playing nice with these assholes. I'm done trying to engage these people in respectful discourse. They don't deserve it. They're beneath me. Check out this video I made where I just call them all a bunch of dumb idiots. And I was like, oh, isn't this such a good point that they're so bad at writing and they're so bad at spelling? I show her this video and guess what she says? She goes, hey, did you know that you misspelled a word here at the end of the video? You guys, I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared for that ego check. It hurt. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't take it very well. I had proofread the video over and over and over again, all my text in the video, to make sure that I didn't make that mistake, because I knew if I wound up misspelling something in a video where I'm making fun of other people for misspelling things, I'm just gonna look like such an idiot. And I missed it. I tend to, when I get jacked up on ego like that, I tend to move really quickly, and I tend to not be very careful, and I tend to be, like I said, I'm kind of high. I'm kind of on a buzz. I'm kind of rolling, and I rolled right through. I didn't even notice that I, the arrogant person in the video calling the people that I disagree with politically dumb, moronic, idiotic, stupid people, had misspelled a word in the video. And yeah, I was like, it's so weird to be called out like that, because I wanted to be mad at Mary. I wanted to be like, how dare you? Like, I worked so hard on this. How dare you point out that I did make a mistake? But like, I can't reasonably be mad at her for pointing that out. Like, I did misspell that word. And I was in a video where I was making fun of people for misspelling words. It's just the truth. But what was so clear to me in that moment, especially with how much I wanted to be mad at her and how upset I was for being called out and how like mad my ego was for that, like just that humbling sledgehammer hit. What was clear to me is that I had spent an entire day putting myself in a really bad mental space, in a really nasty spiritual and mental space. I'd spent an entire day really indulging in darkness and indulging in my anger and indulging in my frustration and indulging in my fear and indulging in my need to control other people and to let other people know exactly what I think about them and to ride my wave of justified resentment. That is my kryptonite right there, is justified resentment. If I feel like I am justified in being mad at someone, then it's so hard for me to not take that bait. So again, going back to the earlier conversation, it's like, I understand your anger. I understand your frustration. I have it. But for me, in my life, when I get down there in that sludge, it's just not a healthy place for me to be. I just can't be down there. I can't be down there. And it's not because, again, taking the higher path is like better for the cause. It's because it's better for me. It's my medicine. I need to seek out the higher path, because if I don't, it'll kill me. Okay? Indulging in my frustration and indulging in my fear, indulging in my anger is the thing that led me to become an alcoholic who needed to go to a 12-step program, you know? I never wanted to go to a 12-step program. I still don't want to do that. I still don't want to have to go to meetings in order to like stay sober. I have to do that because my entire adult life was one big long ego trip. And in the past couple of years, I'm trying very hard to reprogram my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my ego-driven, fear-driven, anger-driven habits, and I'm trying to behave in ways that are more compassionate, more kind, and more love-focused. Not because I'm trying to live to win some ideological battleground, not because I believe that me living such a lovely life will be such a great example to other people that they will have no choice but to see that I'm clearly correct. It can't be about that. It has to just be about the fact that I can only control me. And in order for me to get through life in a reasonably healthy and reasonably happy way, I have to try. I have no choice but to try to do things in an elevated way. I have no choice but to try to engage with people that I disagree with in a loving and respectful way, to try to find things about them that I relate to try to find ways that we are similar instead of ways that we are different. I have no choice but to do that, because if I don't do that, it's going to kill me. And maybe that's not the case for everyone else. That's another thing that I get, it really gets me, is this idea of fairness. Like, well, why should I have to be nice if they're not going to be nice? Why should I have to meditate if they're not meditating? Why should I have to do hard work on myself and work so hard to be a better person if they're not going to try to be better people? That's the reason why I made that stupid TikTok video. It's like, well, why should I play nice? You're not playing nice. Why should I be respectful about Donald Trump getting COVID? You weren't respectful about Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying. Why should I treat you with the respect that you're not treating me with? That whole fairness mentality, first of all, it's really immature. I mean, come on, guys. Again, I have it. I relate to it. So I know if you're feeling it, what it's about. But think about it, guys. That's what we did when we were kids. And our parents would say, all right, Kay, you have to go inside. You're not playing nice. You're playing out with the neighbor kids and you get in a fight. And your mom comes out and says, you have to go back. You have to go inside. If you can't play nice with these guys, you have to go inside. And you go, but they started it. No, I was just defending myself. He said, she said, she said, he. What are we, children, you guys? Come on. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. It's none of my business where someone else is at in their spiritual program. It's really none of my business what someone else thinks about my conception of God or my conception of how the government should work or my conception of like what's justice and what's fair. Because if I make my life about getting even with people, getting revenge, getting retribution, if I make my life about like everything needing to be fair, that's the stuff that's going to just cause resentment in me and anger that's going to kill me. You know? Read a quote today that I've seen before that says like nonviolence only works if your opponent has a conscience. That's another thing. I get it. I get how that leads us to go like, well, I would be peaceful with these people. I would be respectful. I would be loving. They don't respond to that stuff. They don't respond to peaceful and loving and respectful. That doesn't seem to register to them as behavior that they should try to match. Okay. Oh, well. Be loving and respectful and kind and compassionate anyway. Not as a ha-ha to them or as a, you know, as a way to gain some kind of moralistic high ground, but because it's better for you and for us. And again, that's just for me. That's for me at least. Maybe there's people out there who can stomach the darkness better than I can. And maybe those people should carry the flag of you know, figuring out how to dunk on people that they disagree with, you know, and still do it in a way where they're able to like be people who seek out opportunities to do service and to be kind and compassionate and care for others. I mean, maybe those people are out there. So I don't want to say that this has to be everyone's way of doing things. In fact, I hope that there are people out there. Mary was pointing out that AOC is really, really good. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is really good at like kind of like putting people in their place on Twitter and like dunking on people, but like also being kind of dignified about it. So maybe there's like a space for people out there who are good at this stuff, who are good at like intellectually dunking on people, but like keeping their side of the street clean while they do it. And I'm not trying to say that you got to do things my way. I'm just saying for me, what I found out when I took my little foray into the sludge and into the darkness is A, I'm not that smart because I misspelled a word in my stupid video. And B, that stuff's just going to kill me. It's just bad for me. And I can't do it. So for my own health and my own survival, I have to find a way every single day to be seeking out a more enlightened, a more kind, a more loving, a more compassionate path. And I have to just have faith that that's going to work out for me and the people that I care about. And, you know, that's it. That's all I have to say about the ethics or the values of playing dirty versus playing nice. You know, that's the realization I made this week, is that like, because I used to think that going high was like, it was our tactic for winning the war. And I think I have to recontextualize it as like, it's not a tactic. It's a necessary life model. It's just like, I have to go high because if I go low, it'll kill me. And if other people are capable of going low without it destroying their hearts and their minds and their sense of joy in life, then I guess more power to them. But yeah, I don't know. That's it. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Talked for longer than I meant to. I wanted this to go 30 minutes. I went 10 minutes over, but I did 10 minutes of like kind of promo for stuff at the beginning. So I think I did more or less hit the mark. Okay, you guys, that's it. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by searching Austin Archer at Apple Music or Spotify, or by going to austin-archer.com. This show is mixed and mastered by my boy Chrissy Bear over at Marmalade Music. If you're a musician or a podcaster or a person who has an audio project and you want it to sound better, go to marmalademusicslc.com, tell them that you listen to People Pleaser, and Chris will give you 20% off your first project. Again, that's marmalademusicslc.com. Tell Chris that you listen to People Pleaser for 20% off your first project, and yeah, we'll see you back here next week with more guests. I got some really great guests lined up. Go listen to my album, please. Consider purchasing it on Bandcamp, and I'll see you later. Love you. Wear your masks. Be good. Be nice to each other. Okay, bye-bye.